Thanks, everyone. So yeah, like Seth said, I've been working on KiCad for a long time. If you're new to the world of open hardware and haven't heard of KiCad yet, welcome. It's a CAD tool mostly for designing electronics for printed circuit board design, but also has a few other applications. So I'm going to be talking about one of the new features, which is coming in KiCad 9. If you want to hear about the other 500 features, stick around for Wayne's talk a little bit later. And KiCad 9 will be out shortly. It was going to be out the end of this week, but it's going to be next week because FOSDEM and things. So stick around. So to talk about what I did here, I have to start by talking about why I did it. If you're familiar with KiCad, you probably know that it already has a plugin system. KiCad has had the ability to add Python plugins for quite a long time. And if you're really into KiCad, maybe you've even tried to write some of your own plugins. So why did I make an API if we already have an API? So the current Python plugin system is built mostly around a tool called Swig, which is a clever tool that can analyze mostly C++ code. Now they also support C, and it automatically generates wrappers in a variety of different languages and allows you to, for example, call C++ functions directly from Python. So in the case of KiCad, a subset of our C++ application is wrapped using Swig into a Python module, and plugins can then just import that Python module and call into KiCad code. So this is pretty cool. We don't have to do that much work. The code is mostly generated for us. We have some extra code that we had to write, but not that much. And now Python-based tools can do a lot of different things with KiCad, which has been really great for the ecosystem because there is now a whole range of tooling that adds on to KiCad, does specific things or things that we hadn't yet supported in the main C++ code base, which is pretty good, right? Well, maybe this is a bit obvious in hindsight, but this really wasn't the best choice to deliver an API that works the way that people expect when they hear the phrase API, like not having the functions you call change every version, or not being able to crash KiCad if you call functions in the wrong order. So the main challenges with Swig are cover like a couple of different places. So first of all, like from the point of view of us, the KiCad development team, like I said, the interface is really fragile. There's no API layer within the KiCad code base. It was just directly, let's take the existing things that KiCad is doing, let's make it so that you can call them from Python. And this means that we are constantly dealing with challenges when we want to refactor that code, when we want to deprecate something or add a new way of doing things, or just change how we do things internally in order to improve KiCad itself. We have to decide, are we going to just break these plugins that are expecting this old interface, which we sometimes have to do, unfortunately, or are we going to add some way of preserving backwards compatibility, which sometimes is pretty easy and sometimes is impossible and often is forgotten about until later, which is annoying for all of the Python developers. In addition to that, which is a big pain for a lot of people, Swig is also a little bit annoying for us on the development team because we've been moving to use more and more modern C++ APIs and types. And Swig is slowly getting better at this, but it's still it's not keeping pace with how we adopt C++ features. And it also slows down the build process for us, which limits how fast we can iterate on things. And like I said, Python plugins are directly reaching into KiCad as it is running. They're running in the same process. They have access to all that memory. If they do things that don't match the expected contract that we were thinking about when we wrote the code, they can just completely break things in very weird ways and cause interesting bug reports. But it doesn't stop there. The current Python plugin system basically lets plugins assume that the Python bindings to our core framework library, WS widgets, are available. And sometimes this has been interesting for packaging because that binding, WX Python, is sometimes out of sync with WX widgets in different platforms. And we've had to patch around that and basically spend a bunch of energy maintaining things on the Windows and Mac OS side especially. We also have to bundle our own Python interpreter on those platforms because we need to ensure for these plugins that they have all of these Python modules available with appropriate versions, and we can't rely on that being installable externally. So we have to now ship a Python environment, and plugins have to use that environment, which is challenging for them if they want to then add external Python dependencies. And sometimes it's just not possible for them to use certain Python dependencies. And there's one Python environment shared by everything, which if you're a Python developer, you know is just not a great idea. If that wasn't enough, it's also not great as a developer if you're trying to build plugins, because using KiCad to run your Python code, the way that it runs is a little bit different than the way that you would typically run a Python program. And so if you're trying to test your code, if you're trying to debug in an IDE or anything like that, it's sometimes possible, but it's very hard to get exactly the same environment and run it in exactly the same way. So sometimes you just have to test things the brute force way. We have a built-in Python console that lets you have a Python REPL and just test things out. But if you're used to developing Python, maybe you're used to a little bit nicer tooling. And this built-in console is something that the KiCad team now has to maintain. And it's another challenge and another thing that makes developing for KiCad a little bit bespoke compared to other kinds of Python development. So that's where we are. And it's taken a long time to develop something better. Along the way, we considered a few options that we then didn't do, which I think are interesting to mention. So first of all, we could have just made a real API layer in C++ and then pointed Swig at that instead of at the internals. This would have been relatively straightforward, and it would have probably totally solved those fragility problems where, you know, function names are changing every KiCad version. The issue is that most of those other problems would have remained. So we have known for a while that we wanted to move away from Swig. And we also spent a little while looking at a library called PyBind11, which is kind of serving the same kind of function as Swig, but in a more manual way where you have more control over how it works. And this might have solved a few more of the problems, but definitely not all of them. So about 2 years ago, I wrote an RFC for the team that basically said, what if we went in a different direction here? What if we could completely remove Python from the core of KiCad and build a different kind of API? So over that winter, I built a proof of concept, and it seemed to be working pretty well. Some time passed, and here we are now about to ship the first real version of this with KiCad 9. So let's talk about the IPC API. What I wanted in this API can basically be summed up like this. You know, first of all, we wanted to be able to change any internals in KiCad and hide that change from all the API users. We should be able to do normal things that people expect, like have a sane deprecation policy and have forwards and backwards compatibility wherever possible. Second of all, API users should no longer have direct access to KiCad internal state. You know, we wanted to run them in external processes and keep them from doing, let's say, accidental evil. And third, the developer experience is important, both for us, the KiCad team, and for all of the API users. If we want this thing to be adopted and useful, it has to be better than what exists out there right now, not just different. So here's how it works at a high level. The API is using protocol buffers to define messages that are passed back and forth between KiCad and an external application over Unix sockets or Windows named pipes. And we use a library called NanoMessage Next Generation, which I'll just call NNG from now on because it's shorter, as an abstraction layer over those sockets and pipes. So let's start at the bottom. Why NNG? It's a question I get sometimes. I looked at a number of different options that could solve the problem I had where I want to send bytes back and forth between KiCad and other things on the same machine. And basically, NNG came out on top because it's pretty simple to use and very few lines of code. And those very few lines of code are using the native platform IPC mechanisms. The same code does the right thing on Windows or on non-Windows, and you don't have to care that much about the differences there. And it has all the availability we needed it to be in terms of like what platforms it supported and what languages it supported. And basically, I didn't find a good reason not to use it, and I also looked at a lot of other options. You can see some of them down here. And all of these other options came out as, you know, either more complicated or they had some drawback, or in some way they were trying to solve a different set of problems than my problems. So I think there are great solutions for different problems, but they weren't the one for me. So then one layer up, why protobuf? So if you're not familiar, protobuf basically is a project from Google where you define messages using a domain-specific language and then use a tool that compiles that DSL into various different wrappers, essentially, in a bunch of different target languages that implement those messages. And we use this because we can then define most of the KiCad API in terms of those DSL messages, which are pretty easy to parse. We'll look at some in a bit. And it means it's really easy to keep KiCad synced up with the third-party language bindings. So protobuf is not perfect. And in fact, it has, you know, some downsides that are important to be aware of if you want to use it for your project. But ultimately, I did look at a number of alternatives to protobuf, and they either didn't have all the features we need, or they weren't nearly as popular. And I decided, after looking at what was available and all of the resources I could find, people posting about challenges they had had and how they had overcome those challenges, I wanted to go with the thing that was the most widely used, because I could see how these people were doing similar things and how they had solved these problems. And some of the alternatives I looked at, there just wasn't that much information about people solving similar problems. And I think that kind of thing is important. So here are some example protobuf messages from the KiCad API. You can think of them kind of like structures. If you know a language like C or C++, you can see some of these have primitive types, like these int64s, and then a lot of them are composed out of other messages internally. So here's an example of a command that an API client might want to send to get the bounding box or extents from a text object. So we're going to, you know, have this certain other message that specifies what the text is, and we're going to get back that box 2 we just saw with the bounding box. So to actually send and receive these messages, we have these what are called envelope messages that have a request and response inside as an any type, which is a protobuf feature that basically lets you do runtime type introspection so that we can dynamically dispatch a handler depending on what kind of message we receive coming in. Protobuf defines a binary format that these messages get serialized into, and that serialized format is what we send back and forth over the wire. And one note is that protobuf can also be serialized as text that is basically JSON. So we have a debugging feature where you can actually dump every message going back and forth to a text log and see what's going on, which is really handy. So we have these messages. How do we actually hook them up to KiCad? At a super high level, KiCad is an event-driven application. One of our other devs, Ian, who's up there, did a deep dive into this on our developer meetup on Friday, and you can watch that on our YouTube channel if you want the full details. But at a really high level, events are coming in from various sources, maybe from an input device, maybe from the operating system, and they get routed to various event handlers by a dispatcher. This is all happening in a single thread, so all these handlers are designed to be non-blocking, and sometimes they have their own internal event loops, and all of this is going on with various coroutine magic that lets us have somewhat sane code. But I'm going to skip over that today. So to hook into this, I basically added a new type of event, and this is, you know, called whenever any kind of API message comes in, and that is routed to a new kind of handler, which is handling the API messages. And this handler is unpacking that envelope message and figuring out, okay, what should I do with this? It has its own set of handlers that are all supporting the actual API functions. You know, some of those functions might be able to return some calculation immediately. Some may be able to create their own other events and post those to the event loop that will then get handled at some later time. So all of these have to be non-blocking and essentially return to the client immediately. So if you want to call an API command that is going to take some time to do, you are just going to immediately get a reply that, hey, this command started, and you're going to need to check back to see when it finished. Some of the details of this, by the way, can be kind of hidden from the actual users of the API through the client libraries to make it a little bit less complicated. And one other thing I should mention is that these API handlers are dynamically registered. So, for example, if you open a KiCad project manager, you might only have a few handlers, but then when you open up the PCB editor, it'll register a PCB handler because now you can work with a board. And now you can call get board and refill zones and things like that. And if you close that PCB editor, it will get deregistered. And then if you say refill zones, you would instead get back a message saying, hey, there's not a handler for that right now. So because of this design, you know, the API events are synchronous and are getting sequenced in with all of the user input. So that's something you have to keep in mind as a plugin developer, is that you're not kind of operating in parallel with the user, but with the user. So you have to keep in mind how you want your plugin actions to get sequenced in as undo steps. And sometimes the user will be doing something that we don't want to allow interruption. Like if you're in the middle of routing tracks, we don't want your API plugin to be able to just delete the board. So sometimes the API will say, hey, I'm busy. You need to try that again later. So that's an overview of how it's implemented. But what about using it? Well, we're releasing Python bindings for the API along with Kicad 9, and you can actually install it right now if you have a nightly and want to try it out. So it's there in the Python package index, and that's the source code for it. Just make sure that you go into your Kicad preferences and turn on the API, because it's not on by default right now. So here's a simple example of creating a zone on whatever board is open. We start by importing some things and then getting a handle to the open Kicad instance, and then the board. And then we construct a zone object that has certain properties, which is most of the code you see there. And finally, we put it on the board. By the way, we could be developing this from any IDE or from a REPL outside of Kicad, and it would work the same way as if it was running as a plugin from Kicad. So there's no longer any difference there. You can use whatever kind of Python environment is most comfortable for you. One thing I want to point out is that these two lines are the only lines that are communicating with Kicad using the API. So the rest of it is building up objects in Python that are representing protobuf messages that will then be sent. You could also take away that, it's a lot of steps to define an outline for a zone. And this is true. And I guess my point here is that even if we make the API really easy to use and Pythonic and all that good stuff, you're still going to need to kind of understand Kicad some places to understand, okay, the zone is complicated because it can actually have arcs in its border, and it can have internal cutouts and things like this. And so the API describes all of that. So that just is on us to make sure that all of these things are documented well and have good examples for you to work from. One thing that I'm not going to have time for too much detail on is that there is a new Python plugin launching system coming with Kicad 9, which is using virtual environments per plugin and automatic dependency installation that mostly works. And I'm sure there's a few edge cases, because that's Python where it doesn't work. But for a few people who've been testing it, it seems to work, which is really awesome, because now plugins can use whatever UI toolkit they want. And as a bonus, it can launch any executable file, so you don't necessarily need to use Python if you don't want to. So Kicad 9 is coming with the first public version of this API, but I'm definitely not done. There are a lot of features that are important to add that will be coming in future versions, and probably some things I don't even know I should add. So I'm definitely looking for feedback from early users of this. Up next, I'm going to be working on integration with the footprint editor and replacing the footprint wizard system, so that we can have a shared code base between our library team and Kicad itself. Call back to the CAD query talk, which just happened. We also want to support headless operations. And since I know a lot of people are wondering, yes, we are bringing this to schematic and symbols. No, it's not in 9. Basically, we just ran out of time to do the necessary internal changes to the schematic editor to make that possible. So if you want to learn more, you can find a little bit more detail than I was able to cover today in the DevDocs link here, as well as more information about creating new API plugins. Kicad Python is up on Python Package Index, so you can check that out. And there's some examples, basic plugins, and also just some quick scripts in that repo. So with that, any questions?
Hi. I was just wondering, how does that work when you have multiple Kicad instances running? Like, how do you select one or stuff like that?
Great question. So the question was, if you have multiple different instances, how do you know which one to talk to? So there will be a default path that the first instance will grab. And then after that, if it's already taken, you will have a different way to communicate that will have a different process ID in the path, essentially. when you launch a plugin from KiCad, it passes the information through environment variables as to where you should communicate with this KiCad that just launched it. But if you are running from a debugger, you would have to manually override that if you didn't want to use the default path. So if you're developing a Python plugin, I recommend using just one instance at a time.
Can you go a bit into how the virtual environment installation works on a non-managed Python installation?
Yes. So the virtual environment is today pretty basic and assumes one particular workflow, which has so far been working in my tests, but I know it won't cover all cases. So basically, if your plugin in your plugin definition file says it's a Python plugin, then we will look for a requirements text file. And we will attempt to install, so we will use Python. Basically, you can configure which Python interpreter to use. And then we will assume that we have access to the virtual environment module. So if you somehow don't have that, it won't work. And then we will attempt to install pip. And then we will attempt to use pip to install your dependencies. And if you can't install pip, or if your dependencies don't have binary wheels, it won't work. And you'll have to do something manual. But that's something that I'm sure could be improved in the future.
Well, we have more questions. If Arpad, if you could start getting set up.
One question, if my plugin is doing something both with schematics and PCB editor, is there a way that I can launch any application? You mentioned that it has to be running in order to understand the command.
So if you want to have a plugin that launches KiCad?
No, if my plugin is like printing schematics and generating Gerbers, for example, it has to deal with schematics and PCB new. And if one of them is not running, what will happen? You mentioned that schematics has to be running in order to understand commands for schematic.
Yeah. So today you can only with the current plugin system, it's intended for the use case of the user launches it from the editor. So your plugin cannot open the editor. The user has to open the editor and then launch the plugin. In the future, we won't have that restriction. One of the things I put on the roadmap was a headless mode. So right now you actually can't do plotting and exporting with this. That's well supported by KiCad CLI, so that's our recommendation right now. But in the future, you will be able to do things like that through a special mode of KiCad CLI, where you can have your plugin say, now I want to open this schematic file and work with it.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you, John.